To the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here, and to those of you who have just joined into the worship service on YouTube with us. Hope you have a great and blessed day. And just know that we value you and appreciate you. Take note, husbands, this is how you get through the day unscathed. Be nice. Wait till tomorrow to ask you to bring you something from the kitchen. Boys and girls, also help Dad not to mess up the day with Mom today. This October, my mother will have been gone 32 years, and hardly a day goes by that I don't thank the Lord for her. She was told her whole life that she could never have children, and then at almost 40, I came along. That's why I keep telling my bride that I'm special, that she just hadn't bought into it yet. The words that I would like to call your attention to this morning are found in this third chapter of the prophet Malachi, verse number 8. The Bible said, "Will a man rob God?" Think about that question for just a minute. It's astounding, is it not? Is it possible to steal something from God? This verse says it is. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then the answer immediately comes, in tithes and offerings. This is the ninth of 12 questions that the people of Malachi's day belligerently ask of the Lord. As they ask these smart aleck questions, they have actually deluded themselves into thinking that their education and their cleverness has made them superior to God Almighty, who created the world and the universe and their little finite peanut brains. Sin causes a person to pronounce himself wise when in reality he's a fool, Romans 1 says. With each word they utter, they reveal another aspect of the spirit of the age that they live in, which is remarkably the same mirror of the spirit of the age that we find ourselves in. So in these questions so far, we've seen revealed that this is an age of questioning, debating, and resisting God's word, of idolatry, rebellion, disdain, treachery, defiance, complacency, negligence, and today's window and mirror will reveal a spirit of greed. Now, this is a greed that's based on covetousness and materialism. Not only were they offering to the Lord worthless sacrifices that were diseased and lame, but they were offering a worthless devotion and service that was diseased and crippled by sin and by worldliness. They withheld giving in order for them to buy more things of the world. Or as today, they've gotten in so much debt that they're held in slavery and bondage to it, that they can't even hardly buy their needs. And so God is the last person they think of giving to. Malachi continues preaching the words of the message that he has directly received by the Holy Spirit. And he describes this message as a burden, something difficult to carry and unload and deliver. The Lord is calling out his people for the spiritual malady that they are afflicted with. By the very words that they speak to the Lord, in their stubbornness and obstinacy, they reveal that. Malachi calls for them to repent of their hypocrisy of belonging to the Lord in name only, and instead enter by faith into his covenant. Now, in the new covenant, it's described as salvation by faith, a deliverance from the condemnation of the law. Or he calls God's people who are in covenant to repent of their sin and disobedience and return to faithful service and submission to the authority of his word. Or thirdly, Malachi calls God's people who are in covenant and in faithful service to be warned not to be lax and to fall into the same path of spiritual shipwreck that these other people are in. Now here in verses 7 to 12, there is a threefold message. There's two indictments by the Lord and one result of those two indictments if repentance does not take place. So let's see the first indictment in verse 7. You have run away from my word. You have run away from my word. Verse 7 says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, from my commandments, from my law, from my word, ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? The Lord said, you've gone away. You have abandoned my word. You have abandoned my worship. You have abandoned my service. Of my word, you have not kept it. You have not believed it. You have not obeyed it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, in John 8, verse 12. He said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world, in Matthew 5, 14. And David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105 says. So the word of God through Jesus, through his people, the light shines out into the world, into darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13 says. Salvation is described as a deliverance from the power of darkness. To control the enslaved masses, atheistic, antichrist, communism, and socialism has to keep people in the ignorance of darkness. To control the enslaved lost, Satan has to keep them in the blindness and spiritual ignorance of this power of darkness. Darkness must extinguish light, or it cannot exist. Or they have to install a prism in front of the light to distort and divert the light from shining into the darkness and revealing what's there. The darkness uses Greek philosophy, masquerading as Christian theology, humanism, which is a rebuilding of the Tower of Babel, where the creature thinks he's the creator and that he, as God, can control everything. Through evolutionary theory masquerading as science, the facade of new and improved Bible translations masquerading as the Word of God, and the opinions and tradition of men of corrupt minds. These all have diverted the rays of the light of truth from God's unchanging Word, which has kept the lost in darkness and the saved in spiritual infancy and ignorance. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, 2 Timothy 3:7 says. You've walked away from absolute truth, or you have so perverted it that faith can no longer connect with the words of God in order to function and operate. And the Lord says, stop where you are in your departure from me. Don't go any further. Turn around and return to me. Return to my word and to the authority of my word. Because there is no alternative. A servant is not free to choose when, where, and how he's going to serve. That's how you lose your job. Spiritually, that's how you lose your reward in the coming kingdom. The Lord says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. I'll return the blessings, the peace, the joy, the fruit. So the first indictment he delivers here in this text is, you have run away from my word. The second indictment, you have robbed me from my treasury. You have robbed me from my treasury. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He said, you've not only run off from your job, but you've stolen from me when you left. And these people are just incredulous. Wherein have we robbed thee? We don't see it. How can you say that of us? And here's the answer, in tithes and offerings. Show me your checkbook, and I can show you your heart. Show me your bank statement. The Lord says, let me see your W-2 alongside the church's year-end statement. And I'll show you where you've robbed me. Show me the inventory of your herds and your flocks. I can hear the conversation now at Sunday dinner. Can you believe the preacher preached on money and giving on Mother's Day of all days? Trust me, I don't like it any more than Malachi did. But the choice is to preach what I want to, or worse, what you want to, or third, what the Lord wants to be said. Guess who won out? Finances are a good spiritual test to see where you are with the Lord. I mean, we put everything on the altar. We put our life, our abilities, we put it all on the altar, except the billfold. We hang on to that. Well, let me see if the church needs it. That's the same thinking that I can steal from Walmart because they look how much they have. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, in Matthew 6:21. If you take or keep something that does not belong to you, you are a thief. Personal property and money is legally acquired in one of three ways. Number one, you earn it through labor. It's called getting a job. Oh, I know most of the jobs are beneath you, but every job pays. So whatever it pays, adjust your budget and spending. Adjust your lifestyle. Now, if you want more, increase your value to the one who is paying you a salary. Improve your skills. Do a better job. Work harder. And you earn more money. It's amazing how it works. And you receive wages in the form of money. And that in turn allows you to purchase items of personal property and needs within the amount that you have earned and saved. And if you have a problem with debt, cut up your credit cards. If you don't have any more discipline than to charge more than you can pay back, you're going to pay three times the amount that you charged. How dumb is that? The only answer is the covetousness is so great to have something, you don't care if you can pay for it or not. Second way is you make a trade with someone. Something of yours for something of theirs. The third way is you receive it as a gift. The fourth option is temporary. You have something that belongs to somebody else who has given you permission for you to borrow this something for the short time it takes to use it. You then return it promptly in the same or better condition than when you received it. Or you are a thief. And that includes songbooks. Now you can go ahead and take the Bible. We'll replace that one. And then we'll pray that God will forgive you as you read the Bible. When you're caught stealing, and you'll be caught stealing, God's law requires restitution. Don't lose your place in Malachi. Go to the second book of the Bible, Exodus. Exodus 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. So you steal one and have to pay back five. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or jackass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and so forth. You get the idea. Verse 7. If you steal from God, do you think you'll get caught? What's a tithe? The word tithe means tenth. Once a year, just like on April 15th, you run the cattle, the sheep, etc., through the chute. And every tenth one gets cut and sent to the temple. That's a tithe. A tenth of everything that you own once a year goes to the temple in the Old Covenant. It covers the expenses of the temple, and it pays the salaries of the priests, the Levitical priests that work in the temple with the sacrifices. Then there's, above and beyond that, a national tithe. We would call it an income tax. It goes for the expenses of the nations of Israel, like the Passover feast, the Feast of Weeks, and so forth. This is a tithe of the land, of the nation. So there's a religious tithe, a civil tithe, and then there's a third tithe. Every 3 years, the elderly and widows receive a tithe. Now, we're up to about 25%, not 10%. So if someone says in the Old Testament they gave 10%, that's not a true statement. And above this were the offerings for sin, for trespass, the burnt offering, the meat offering, the freewill offering, and so forth. Now, the people in Malachi's day had been unfaithful to give this, or to not give all, to keep back a portion of it. Then the priest, on the other side, were just as unfaithful with the use of the sacrifices that were given. The treasury in the temple was empty. But you say, we're in the New Testament now, we're in the New Covenant, none of this applies to me, so I can keep giving 50 cents a month. I don't have to follow any of this commandment stuff. I'm under grace. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14, verse 14, of the New Testament. If a man love me, he will keep my words, Jesus said in John 14, verse 23, in the New Testament. What's the third pillar of the commission to the church of the New Testament? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I, Jesus, have commanded in Matthew 18:20. The demands of the first covenant commands of the law to Israel required absolute obedience. But now, loving God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves under grace, does that now mean that we can come far short of the law's requirement or greater? The law says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Our love to God and our neighbor says, thou shalt not hate in your heart. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Our love to God and to our neighbor says, thou shalt not lust in your heart. The law says, thou shalt not steal. Our love to God and to our neighbor says, let us labor, working with our hands, the thing which is good, that we may have to give to him that needs. Ephesians 4:28 says. Which is the greater covenant, the old or the new? Then which has the greater responsibility? Abraham and Jacob gave a tenth to the Lord several hundred years before the law was enacted. So this is not a legal requirement. It's an act of love and devotion and worship to the Lord, recognizing that he owns not 10%, but 100%. And out of that 100%, he has given to us. And we give back a portion to that as an act of thanksgiving and praise. Under grace, pray what the Lord would have you give. Until you know how the will of God for your life is, how to get that in prayer. Start with the old covenant requirement of 10% of income. That's a good place to start. Then examine the Lord's heart in the area of missions, new church plants, helping existing church plants grow their ministry, local ministries. I promise you, he'll lead you to a certain amount to give. There's special needs that comes up. There's love offerings. We pray, Lord, what would you have us give? And then we follow his leading. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in this area of giving. The Lord says through Malachi to his people, you have run away from my word. You have robbed me from my treasury. And lastly, the result, if not repented of, is you have reaped a curse from my judgment. You have reaped a curse from my judgment. Verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse. Oh, God would never do that. This says otherwise. For, here's the reason, ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, a curse here is the opposite of a blessing. It is to withhold blessings. And God has the power to do that, as some of you, I'm sure, have experienced, as have I. The retribution will be collected by God with interest. Oh, I can't give this time because I've got this bill and this bill to do. And then all of a sudden something breaks. And now what you would have given to the Lord, you got to give to a repairman, you got to give to this, you got to give to that. The Lord's going to collect what you steal from him. But then there's that payback. Yeah, a Christian can steal, a Christian can lie, a Christian can sin. The difference is there's no pleasure in it. There's no justification in it like when we were lost. Plus, if we don't repent of it, not the judge, but our Father takes us out back and corrects the problem. Because if we stay in that, it's going to destroy us and destroy our testimony and the purpose that God has saved us for. The Lord loves us too much to allow us to sin. That's the difference between the lost and the saved. A husband says to his wife, "I'm sorry I slapped you. I won't do it again." The next day, he slaps her again and says he's sorry and won't do it again. That's not repentance. He repents when he no longer slaps his wife, not when he apologizes. You cannot go north and south at the same time. If you're going north, you repent only when you stop, turn around, and head south. Otherwise, you'll end up in Oklahoma, and then you'll really be sorry. Now, fear of punishment will cause a modification of behavior. But love for God and your neighbor produces repentance, which causes a change of character. If she slaps you back harder and with a 2x4, you'll stop slapping her. But you'll still be angry in your heart. The want to will still be there. You've just handcuffed for a particular time. Repentance removes the anger. It removes the desire for the action and replaces it with love. Return to the Lord and to His word, and to His service, and to His worship. Give the Lord through your church a portion that He's given to you for the furtherance of the gospel ministry here and around the world. Verse 10, bring ye, now when you've repented, of verse 9, verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, into the treasury of the temple, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. The Lord said, I double dog dare you. Do what I said and see if it doesn't work. How's your finances doing? He said, try it my way and see what happens. Prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Members of our church family, has this not happened? The last few months, those of you that come to the meeting of the church to find out what the church is doing, have you not seen what he's doing in this area? There's no way to explain it other than we've done what he's told us to do, and now the windows is open and he's blessed us because of the stewardship that we're not hoarding it up and keeping it. We're receiving it and giving it out. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the curse. God withholds the blessing. He calls the locust and said, come on. That garden just before you're about to pick, he calls the deer and the raccoons and the possums and the armadillos, said, come into this garden and help yourself. He said, when you repent, I'll stop that. You see, you're not just robbing God, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing your family. You're saying, I don't believe God, I believe my method better. Two minutes. That's all it'll take. Go back to the left, two books. Two books. Go past Zechariah to Haggai from Malachi. Zechariah, Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4. See if you can relate to any of this. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4. Is it a time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. How's it working for you? Your ideas, your plans, your opinions. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that's waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Oh, well, maybe I should not keep doing what I'm doing and doing what the Lord said to do. Duh. And verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You realize how many missionaries are thanking the Lord for giving to us so that we could give to them? You know how many lands that covers? How many countries? How many different countries? Other nations with these missionaries, with these national pastors and their churches and the people that their church will reach and minister to will praise and thank the Lord for our faithfulness to give and to bless others as he has given to us and blessed us. Time's gone. But we can also apply this to time. We waste so much time that we're actually robbing from our ministry to the Lord. Our gifts and our abilities we're holding on to and not giving back to the Lord and to others. Mothers, give your children what they need the most. You. Your time. The Lord comes this morning and he touches the pocket that we carry our billfolds in. And he says, return unto me. Replace the greed and the covetousness with giving and contentment with what you have. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, even when it cuts a little bit deep in the surgery. But Lord, we pray that you would cut out that of the flesh which is hindering us from growing, hindering us from being used of you in your service, hindering your glory from being received by us. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of this church to give, and not just money, but to give of their time, to give of the gifts, spiritual gifts that you've given them, the natural abilities you've given them, into ministries, to minister the commission that you've given to us to do in this community. We thank you for it, Lord, but we're also aware that not every single person fits that. We're also aware that those who are faithful now, Lord, may be tempted not to do so tomorrow. May we take this message, Lord, however it applies, and respond with thanksgiving and praise, or with repentance. Lord, I pray for those who perhaps are Christians in name only but have never been born again, have never passed from death unto life, does not have your spirit dwelling within them. I pray, Lord, you would convict them. You would prove them guilty. You would show them their desperate need of you and your eternal life before it's too late. And that this very moment, in repentance and belief, they would open their heart and say, Lord, please save me and deliver me. Lord, Malachi is a message to your people. So I pray we would receive this morning and live it out and apply it to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.